One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Good afternoon. The correct Jordan Harris Stadium time is 7:55 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Origin True podcast, brought to you cordially by the good folks at Champs Chicken and Harvard by collegeandmagnolia.com, the best free source for Auburn sports information. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, but you know me at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me is amateur statistician, your engineer, Ryan Starrett.
Guess who didn't do show notes?
Oh, baby. We are rolling tonight. At Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. And on the other side of me, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR you pay, the extra money to me on Venmo, 4 is at AU Chief.
Salute.
Greetings, Orange and Truthers. Bienvenue. Tonight, we talk basketball, good and bad. We talk a little baseball preview. And may get into a little bit of football. But first, Ryan wants to do trivia. It's the Orange and True podcast trivia question of the week.
All right, guys. I got a little flack for my tricky wording, apparently.
Chief and I
never implied baseball, okay?
I know.
Whatever, man.
Chief and I are 2-2 on trivia.
It's true.
Everyone thinks we're lousy. This. We're 500, and you've tried to stump us all five times. Four times.
All right. There are three players in Auburn's 2,000-point club for basketball.
Ooh, okay.
And I will tell you, I'm talking about men's basketball.
Men's basketball.
Name two of them.
Scotty Pullman.
Marco Killingsworth. Just kidding.
No. One of the best basketball players we've ever had.
Oh, probably. So, 2,000-point club. Marquise Daniels.
Do you want me to just tell you if you say one right, or do you want to lock in answers at the end?
I'm going Scotty Pullman.
You got to name two of them.
It's
Marquise is a good
and
guess.
And also, let me guess.
Charles Barkley? Yeah,
none of the names you have said, by the way, have been on this top three list.
What? Anybody who scored 2,000 points for Auburn, did any of the Person brothers do it? Chuck or Wesley?
Yes.
Or is that the list?
Yeah. I think Chuck and Wesley. Yeah. And
that's two of them.
Bryce. I did it. I got it right. I named two of them. Charles and Wesley Person.
Crow knows. You have any idea who the third one is? And I'm going to tell you, you probably don't.
John Mengel. Yeah.
Close. Chuck, he holds a lot of the scoring records at Auburn, but no.
Shug Jordan.
Mike Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. That's the other guy with his name in the rafters.
So. Yeah.
Good one.
Do you want me to just kind of read through the
list? How close is Bryce?
Bryce is like 1,400 right now. But this is his senior year.
You gotta have a ton of
Marquise wouldn't have scored a lot until his junior and senior
That's
year.
That's the thing. So. You gotta play all 4 years, and you gotta score a ton.
Basically shoot every time the ball touches your hands, too.
Or be Marco Killingsworth.
So just here's the list of I actually got this from the 1,000-point club, but
guys. Did Marco have 1,000 points?
There's no way. He was only here like a year and a half.
Bro, I think he torched some net while he was here.
No way.
Okay, so Chuck Person, Mike Mitchell, Wesley Person, Eddie Johnson, John Mengel, Ronnie Battle, Chris Morris.
Okay.
Frankie Sullivan is in 8th place with 1,500.
That's not a shock. I got to spread it up. He played forever.
If KT had been here all 4 years, he'd been in the 2,000 club.
I love Frankie Sullivan.
So at 9 is Jeff Moore, 10 Marquise Daniels, 11 Scott Pullman. Dwayne Reed, Rasheem Barrett, Frank Ford.
Dwayne Reed
Medical Center? Like in L.A.?
I heard Jeff Moore in the distance on there. It's pretty good.
Aaron Swinson, Lee DeFour, Gary Redding, Doc Robinson, Stan. That's a Polish name. I don't know.
Okay.
Piekwicz.
Not going to work here anymore.
Frank Tolbert, Daryl Lockhart, Wes Flanagan, KT Harrell.
Frank Tolbert, the 1,190.
This is not including Jerry Rice.
He had 12 fingers.
Oh, that's right.
Because he had 6 on each hand.
All right.
Did you know that about Frank Tolbert?
That's one of the first episodes we had called Freddy 12 Fingers.
That's right.
Frank 12 Fingers. Wes Flanagan, KT Harrell, Chris Denson, Charles Barkley at 25.
Well, he didn't shoot the three.
Yeah. Auburn's career three-point leader, percentage-wise. I think he took like 8 attempts. don't question me on that.
Yeah.
Karate Barber, Lance Ween, Bryant Smith, Bubba Price.
This is the best
Eric Dennison, Pat Burke, Marco. I'm going to stop here. There's a
Ryan
lot
like Reed's 1,000. List is our new segment on the podcast.
And Jared and Bryce that I didn't include because this was the 2017.
Where was Boubacar Silva on that list?
I'm not going to dig through this.
Gosh, Ryan, at one point, Auburn recruited a 7'2" guy from, I think, Congo?
Somewhere.
And named Boubacar Sia, and he was I think he was the tallest player in Auburn basketball history. He was the tallest person on campus. I remember, like, we used to do all these. There was a thing in the media guide about, like, tallest guy, blah, 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 blah. I don't think he played 1 minute. He may have maybe 1 minute of one game, but he transferred after, like, a year. He was not good.
Yeah, so I think the thinking there was we were going for another Mamadou who had not played a single minute of basketball before he stepped on campus at Auburn, I believe. He was a soccer player from Senegal and was not good when he got here, but was very good when he left. His last 2 years.
7'2" at Auburn?
I think Boubacar had an issue
Trayvon
with
Trayvon Reed. Yeah, still playing college basketball.
Somehow. That is incredible.
I think Boubacar had an eligibility issue, too, at some point. There was something. Like high school he went to may not have been a real high school.
We also had some big giant Croat on the team at that time that also didn't play.
Man, that was in the Jeff Lebo era.
Man, if Auburn had some great Eastern European talent, Crow would be in heaven.
Oh my gosh. It would be like the Mavs. But the Mavs are about to be, if your last name doesn't end with a C, you probably can't play for the Mavs. They're just going to get a bunch of guys whose last names end in C.
Dirk is literally grandfathered in.
Oh yeah. Or like, they're basically like, look, if the Soviet Union did not include your country at one point, we don't know if we want you. Just Eastern Europe, please. No Italians and Spaniards.
That's for the Spurs.
Yeah, it's for the Spurs. We want guys with itches at the end of their name. Kristaps Porzingis is from Latvia, though. So
that's still an Eastern Europe. That's Eastern Bloc.
Yeah, it's true. If there's an Eastern Orthodox cathedral in your town, come on over.
Oh, man. That was good.
Speaking of basketball. Speaking of basketball.
Hey, there's Dorian Finney-Smith.
Dorian Finney-Smith on the TV. Speaking of Florida basketball, we played Florida this week. How did it go, Ryan?
Well, we were at home. So it went well.
Yeah.
Very well, obviously.
Very well. Auburn played really stinking good against Florida. That may have been the best basketball Auburn has played, besides the parts of the first half against the LSU game.
Yeah.
That may have been the best basketball
we've played all year. My favorite part of the Florida game was the obnoxious guy behind me that was a Florida fan. As Jared Harper is limping off the floor, he's giddily talking about, Jared's injured. He was calling all of our players by their first names, so he's clearly been watching Auburn basketball.
He probably is an Auburn student.
He's probably friends with him.
Once I turned around and found out, this guy was not a student. He was like maybe 25, 20, between 25 and 28. He may have worked for the university.
Clearly older than me.
He may have worked for the university.
Or been in grad school, I guess. But he's giddily started, Jared's hurt. That means McCormick's coming in. That's good. He sucks.
Oh.
And immediately, I'm talking immediately.
Yeah. How quickly?
Immediately. Javon McCormick gets an AM1. My buddy Jeremy, who I sit with, we just went crazy because we had heard this joker behind us talking trash. But anyway, that was fun.
Texas's own Javon McCormick, which he's from New Orleans, but whatever.
It's basically Houston.
Yeah, it is basically Houston. So Javon actually had probably his best game against Florida.
He only had 4 points.
And then maybe his worst game against LSU.
He only had 4 points, three of which were from one play.
And one.
But look, I wrote this in the column about my weight loss, that we need Javon McCormick to have more points than capital letters in his name per game. He's got 4 capital letters in his name. He's got to have at least 4 points. You can't walk out there with 4 capital letters in your first and last name.
I'd want him to have twice as many points as turnovers.
Well, gosh, yeah, that'd be nice. Or just so as many points as turnovers.
Yeah. So in this Florida game, Auburn had only 10 turnovers. We can live with that.
We can live with that.
Yeah.
Horace had 3 of them, which is okay. He gets to have the bulk of them, I guess.
He's a turnover machine.
Yeah. He travels quite a bit. But Horace had a pretty good game in this one. 6 points.
He did play well.
Seven rebounds, four fouls. Horace is like dominoes. He's going to be like a 5-5-5 guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
5 points, five fouls, five rebounds. Yeah. That's the Horace game. That's fine.
That's fine.
Javon McCormick in conference play is estimating a turnover for every like on 21.7% of all.
So one out of five, yeah, not good.
Not great.
So maybe the guy behind me was right, but
no. The thing is, he's good. He is good, but against LSU, the best. Oh, that's a good question. Who has the best two guards in the SEC?
I don't know.
LSU has a claim. Auburn has a claim. LSU has a claim.
Tennessee has a claim. Kentucky has a claim.
Yeah, there's a couple teams. Florida would probably say they do too, but they don't.
Yeah.
I would say I would pick those. I would rival anybody in those
four. No, Ole Miss.
They got some guys. Yeah, but like LSU's guards are the first ones that made Javon McCormick look like he was in the wrong league.
Yeah. Of course, Jared still had 25 Jared points still or whatever it was.
Despite looking like he was a little slow in the beginning of the game, just with that angle, he still had a great game.
Jared is Mr.
Automatic.
Jared was ranked coming out of high school out of 100. He was a top 100 recruit.
45th.
Everyone loves to play up. They're under recruited. These guys are just like, nobody. Jared Harper was the 87th player in the nation out of high school.
Yeah.
That's not bad, guys. Like, top 100 recruits, good.
Yeah.
Chuma Okeke was 48th. Austin Wiley was 58th. And then Daniel Purifoy was 16.
It's funny.
So we have four top 100 recruits. Only guy on this list that was actually under-recruited is Bryce Brown.
I guess Austin probably would have gone up if he had stayed through the remainder of his senior year.
If he hadn't declared so early.
But he came to us before those recruiting.
Okay, mid-season, yeah.
But anyway, not that it mattered.
But so in this Florida game, this was, like you kind of mentioned, this was like the most complete game Auburn had played. And everybody was playing well.
Austin got in for five total minutes, did what we needed him to do, sat back down, we didn't need him the rest of the game.
I mean, the leading scorer was Bryce, and he only had 14.
It was great.
Because everybody contributed. The bench had several points. I mean,
that's how I'd love to see us win every game, but that's not how we're going to win every game.
Right. I think Luca did another thing in Crow's.
I was trying to hide it.
Samir had a great game, 12 points, 5 rebounds.
Samir, man. And
he played great defense in this game.
Yeah, he did.
Samir
really helped lock down Florida.
This is such a funny thing because, like, at the end of the Florida game, I said, man, Samir Doty is the best thing we've got going this year compared to last year. We didn't have a guard who could defend like that last year. After the LSU game, I was like, if I could trade Samir Doty from the top of my head right now, I would do it. I would trade Samir Doty and a number one pick for Mustafa Harris.
Samir is unequivocally a better defender than Mustafa Harris.
Yeah, and for the most part, a smart player. Doesn't turn the ball over, but neither did Mustafa. Mustafa wasn't a turnover machine either.
Except for the travels, which he had two or three of every
game. Except for when he just decided he was going to dunk, whether it was there or not.
But he's hot and cold on offense. Like, it's
Samir.
And you're not going to get an automatic 15, 17 points out of him.
That's the thing. Mustafa was a guaranteed double-digit scorer every night. And Auburn doesn't have but two of those this year, and that really is showing. We got two guys that you know are giving you 10, at least 10.
Chuma's getting a really good couple games. Chuma can have a great game
and still not getting a double-digit scoring, though.
So in this Florida game, he was 11-8, and that was almost all in the first half.
Right.
Like we said before,
yes,
huge first halves, and then kind of cools down in the second half.
Yep. He's averaging 10.5 points a game in conference.
And what, like 6 rebounds probably?
In conference play, which is all that matters, he's averaging 7 rebounds, 10.5 points, 7 rebounds, almost two assists, a steal, and a block.
I mean, that's good. That's great. Those are great numbers. That's all SEC numbers, I would think.
If he could just get 2 more points.
Yeah.
One more bucket, Chuma.
2 more points. 1 more bucket.
If he could average 12 in conference play, that is a big, big deal. Yeah, he is currently the 5th all-time in career box plus minus in the SEC.
So I want to do a little update on
since these
3 points versus 2 points. You know, we do the math each week, kind of sarcastically. In this Florida game, Auburn shot 36% from 3 and 59% from 2. So the math says 2 is actually better.
Yeah, but just barely.
Just barely. Which is kind of mystifying because, you know, Florida was a pretty big team. We said had good forwards.
But look at the guys who shot threes is the question. So, like,
well, we started taking mid-range
against jumpers. Florida, what was Bryce shooting three versus two?
Bryce 4-6 from two and 2-6 from three.
So 2-6 from
two is
pretty good. 2-6 from three, that's nice. That's 6 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and so he should have shot a lot more.
Let's take that into the LSU game where Auburn was on fire,
man,
in the first half. I think
if you'd have told me we were going to make 11 3-pointers in the first half and lose a game, I'd be like, man, we must have been just playing the worst defense I've ever. And we did.
Here's the thing.
We played horrible defense. And we played really bad on offense other than making shots.
Yeah, Auburn shot amazing in this game. Auburn shot 42% from three and 61%.
We just couldn't get the darn ball across half court.
How many turnovers do you think we had in the game?
Like 20 turnovers?
19 turnovers. Yep.
Guys,
that's double what we had before.
We've lost. Hey, guess what?
We've
lost 19 turnovers. You're probably going to lose the game.
Yeah, I don't care what you shoot.
Because you're usually not going to shoot that one from three. That was my whole concern at halftime is we've made 11 threes and we were up by 3 points.
Yeah.
So and
LSU took 16 more shots.
And I was thinking, surely, there's no way that a team with as many upperclassmen guards as Auburn has,
it's not going to fall apart.
It's going to continue to turn the ball over at this rate. And they did. But it wasn't Jared. Jared didn't have a bunch of turnovers.
He had five.
Oh, okay.
Horace had his three.
Horace had three. I remember those three. I remember Horace turned the ball over in so many middle school basketball ways.
And then everybody had some. Samir had two. Bryce had two. Chuma had one. Anthony had one. Malik had two.
Malik had a couple of big howlers. Yeah. They were howlers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a turnover.
Malik had a bad game against LSU, I thought. Yeah.
They scored on every turnover. Oh. Every turnover led to
turnover,
points.
Every inbound.
Yeah. And that was – Auburn – people want to say Auburn got out-coached. We lose some games. We didn't. We might have gotten out-schemed against LSU on inbounds because that is 100% scheme. There's no talent or recruiting.
We couldn't stop it.
It's 100%.
It was like Everton with free kicks.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So,
don't know this.
No idea.
Everton will give away three free kicks in a game and they'll give up three goals.
It is.
A corner or
one reason why
near the box.
Being an Everton fan is because it's there's not one problem with Everton football.
It's the most insane.
It's everything is a problem.
Crow, I think they just go full Everton hater at this point.
You don't have to be. Most Everton fans are bigger Everton haters than anybody
else. Yes. This weekend, and I'll make this brief. This weekend, they played Watford.
Ryan. You ever heard of Watford?
Watford?
It's Elton John's team.
Not Watford.
It's Elton John's team.
Yeah, he owns the stadium.
Did you say Ellis Johnson's team?
Elton John. Elton John. Elton John was a famous singer in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
He wrote the Lion
he's
King
got
songs.
His, he's
he
got his
wrote the Lion King songs.
That's
Lion
right.
King was a Disney movie that came out in 1993.
No, Ryan knows. Ryan knows Elton John because his picture is in Auburn Arena along with Jimmy Buffett and Billy Graham.
And Whitney Houston.
The weirdest.
Elton John?
Yes.
Where?
Because he played it.
You got to sit upstairs to see it.
Yeah, in the cheap seats.
Right. Anyway,
it's in the club level.
they played Watford, and they played pretty good most of the match. Gave up a corner that actually wasn't a corner. The referee, this is shocking, was awful.
SEC
they scored off the corner. Watford won 1-0. So
it's
anyway, back to
the final score.
When you can't defend inbounds, Charles Barkley, to his credit, one time on TNT, I remember watching the game, and he made a brilliant basketball point that he does, but once a night, he will make a basketball point that'll make you go, oh yeah, that's why he gets paid talking about basketball. It's not just because he says outrageous things, but he said, there is no reason, defensively, you should ever allow a point on an inbounds play. Because the guy inbounding the ball can't score, right, on the inbounds play. He can't shoot from out of bounds. So you're playing five defenders versus four offensive players every inbounds play. So if you give up an easy two, like Auburn did, layups on inbounds plays, that is four people beating five.
Yeah.
Which is awful.
It's the worst.
And so I couldn't figure it out.
It's a shorthanded goal.
I watched, yeah.
I couldn't figure out what they were doing either.
I couldn't figure out what was going wrong. I couldn't figure out who was making the mistakes. And so I'm sure Bruce was having a heck of a time figuring out what was going on.
Well, they wouldn't let him pass the line on the court.
God
bless. So
the fact that the refereeing was bad on both sides in that game. It wasn't just, I am not the guy who wants to sit here and tell you the referees lost Auburn game. Referees didn't commit all those turnovers. I get that.
We didn't let them come back from being down 20 points to within three at the in the first half.
They also didn't give up 20-something offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Right. But the referees cost Auburn three free throws that would have tied the game.
Yeah.
Potentially tied the game. And that is 100% true.
Twice on that same possession, by the way, because two guys got fouled.
And before that, the referees did not call a foul that Bruce about killed a man about.
They also didn't call 5 seconds on the inbound on the play before, which was 5 seconds.
But then we got a 5 seconds.
Yeah. We got him for another five.
Turned the ball over again, and then they got another 5 seconds.
But they didn't call it.
It was that Bruce was the best I've ever seen him.
Bryce Brown,
I'm surprised. Bryce Brown didn't go. The fact that he didn't go up to a referee and yell at the referee who didn't call him being. Like they ran up under his leg at the end of the game. That's unsafe basketball. It's Bush League. And again, it goes to my earlier point. The referees are refereeing too many games. They are exhausted because they don't standardize the officiating in the NCAA. It's an absolute joke. There's not one college basketball fan that I know of that's like, oh yeah, college basketball, we've got great refs.
I think we need to go to robots, to be honest with you.
Or at least like another ref, more refs, hire more refs.
Five guys per game.
Or like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I know my answer is change the rules. Change the block charge rules where it's not as much of a complete crap show. Like, it's a crap toss as to like
it is
who gets the block or who gets the charges. You've no idea who's going to get it until the ref makes his call, and then every time the announcer's like, "Well, I can see how it's that." Yeah, of course, because it's a complete judgment call.
Yeah,
as to whether it's a block or a charge. Make that a little clearer. Get rid of some of this other nonsense. Make it a 24-second shot clock, four quarters. Let's play basketball at the NCAA level, not whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah.
That's my referee rant. There's a lot more problems with college basketball than just Doug Shows. He is a problem, but it is a systemic issue.
I feel like Bruce would have murdered him in the moment.
It's
like,
a stage, actually, right? Killed him. Sorry, I'm just...
Doug Shows.
Something I was thinking about.
Doug Shows.
Teddy Valentine. Those have got to be stage names.
Those are stage names. Man, if I was a college ref, I wouldn't give up my real name either.
Oh, man, that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea to have a fake name if you're a college roommate.
All right, let's move on to previewing next week. We can sit here and rant for the whole hour if you guys want us to, but I think you've heard us do that enough times at this point.
Look, this team isn't doing as well as we wanted them to this year.
Because maybe we had expectations that were outrageous.
We're Auburn still, fans, really?
Yeah.
We're still going to make the tournament. I'll keep saying that until we don't.
We're projected as a 7th seed.
Yeah, we went up in KenPom.
Yeah,
after a loss, so it's fine.
It's fine.
KenPom.
We just can't
beat at this point.
The only thing that could
we just can't beat anybody that's a top 30 team.
Well,
except for Washington.
Yeah, if Washington and Alabama just start tanking,
it could make
Auburn look bad. Yeah. But the moment like Washington, looks
I'd be
good,
okay with that. Let Alabama tank.
We probably have Mississippi State again on the schedule. We could probably beat them. Yeah, that'll look good. The end of our schedule
is tough. The last three games are Mississippi State. Last four games are Kentucky, Mississippi State, Bama, and Tennessee.
You win Mississippi State at home, Kentucky away, Bama away,
Tennessee at home.
So
you go 2-2 against that.
That's not bad.
And you're probably moving up in KenPom quite a bit.
Yeah. You don't have to win every game in basketball.
Yeah, thank God.
Until the tournament.
All right. So who are we playing tomorrow? Wednesday.
Time to get revenge on
tomorrow.
Ole Miss.
Oh, okay. Ole Miss.
Yeah,
got them bringing them back into Auburn Arena after a gross game on the road earlier in the season.
Yeah. I really, really hope.
How have they been doing since then?
Not great. I mean, they had their first two games, they beat Auburn and somebody. Let me take a look at that.
Mississippi State. I know that
they started off really well in their 6-4 in conference, doing better than Auburn.
Doing better than us.
But they're still one of the best guard teams in the SEC. They got Brian Tyree. And where did I just have that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I sound.
Pop quiz, right?
Oh.
Who has the highest PER in conference play? Among scholarship players for Auburn.
Among scholarship players.
Yeah, because Devontae Williams, Cole Blackstock, and Miles Parker are top three.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Chuma.
Chuma.
No. No.
Daniel Purifoy.
What if I told you it was Daniel Purifoy?
That's because he had like an opposite rating.
Who had a not great game against LSU, by the way.
No, he had a couple. Yeah, what do you have? An and one and a three? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He had a streak there where he kind of was like, wait a minute.
Also,
I can take this game over. Like
I should love D'Angelo a lot more than I do because he never misses a free throw. So
yeah, really,
I love that.
He shoots really good.
I love guys that can make free throws.
Yeah, but the problem is he doesn't
shoot enough. He actually holds the record for most consecutive free throws.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That was almost a question.
He missed one free throw his freshman year.
He's only like 73% right now.
Redshirt freshman.
He needs to get to the line more. He's only shooting free throws for every 0.26% of his shots. Yeah. As opposed to a Jared Harper who shoots a free throw for every 40% of his shots.
He did not hit our free throws in that game.
And we haven't all season.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Well, that's true.
They got Breann Tyree and Terrence Davis. They're two really good guards.
Chief is sitting on a creepy
Sorry, chair. Am I no, just killing
I think it might be me as well.
No, it's
okay. We've got these little stools, and I'm not the smallest
guy. No, we're recording this from inside of a crypt. That's what you're hearing.
So they shoot a lot of threes at Ole Miss, but they're not that good at them.
That's fine.
They're like,
Brian, I'm tired of you telling me that people aren't very good at things, and then they turn out to be very good at those things when you play them.
Imagine Auburn fans with this stat line. Ole Miss shoots the 90th most threes in the country. Not a ton, but a lot. 90th out of 350.
Uh-huh.
90th.
They're also 324th in three-point percentage. They shoot 31% in three.
Are we? We've got to be higher than 90th within like the power conferences, though. Got to be.
Look, you guys. People think we shoot too many threes. Those people are idiots. Because,
well, yeah.
Because that is basketball.
We do in
2019.
We do shoot the ninth most amount of threes in the country. But we're
okay.
Sorry, we're ninth in made. 16th in attempts.
Okay.
And we're shooting 38% on the year.
Nice.
So I'll take those numbers. But Ole Miss. Y'all talk for a little bit.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Ole Miss, we got to beat them because
analysis that you only get.
I'll never forget that night that Marshall Henderson went insane in Auburn Arena.
On his way to the Iraqi League. What's wrong?
Yeah.
So that was last year's stats.
Oh, great. That's okay.
Cool. And I thought this, but I saw the numbers and thought, maybe what
I thought. It's almost pretty good at the three ball.
I got this year's stats right here, and I didn't correct you.
Actually is shooting 37% from three this year. They're 76 in the country.
Pretty good.
But now they're 226th in threes attempted. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, I mean, math says the less you take, the higher your percentage will be if you hit them.
That's true. Gosh, if you didn't know this was a math podcast when you tuned in, but now it is.
The more points you score, the more often you win.
Yeah. Every time. As long as you can defend.
Yeah.
So we got Ole Miss. Who else do we have before the next time we record? Ryan?
Do we really want to talk about it?
Let's talk.
We got to go to Vandy.
Look, at some point, we have to go up there and just beat them off of that
floor. We're going to lose.
Chief?
I'm telling you right
now. Not with that, dude.
I'm telling you right now.
We're going to
lose.
What I want to do.
Okay. We're going to lose.
Auburn, all I want, because I hate that gym. Never been in it, but I just
I have. Looking it's terrible. It looks like you're in a theater.
I hate looking at the gym on TV. All that I want.
What is it about Nashville and putting the dang the teams on the inline?
The only place in the country. Only
that place
in the country.
And the other gym in Nashville has Belmont? Bridgestone Arena has the same thing.
What?
Wait for the SEC tournament.
That city is just the worst for basketball. Ooh. Then.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
I thought you were
period.
At the worst.
Yeah, unless you would go to a bachelor.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Bridgestone is the one with the same thing. If not that, then they have the huge. I know they have the huge freaking step up because it's a hockey arena.
That's like every.
It's awful.
Every still. Like
I hate it.
NBA arena.
You should not be allowed to have any sort of basketball game there if your team is sitting below the court.
Anyway. Look, Nashville's great if you're going on a bachelorette party. But the rest of the time, there's a lot better cities in the South to go to. I will say that.
Or if you want to go to a great learning institution such as Vanderbilt University.
Oh, this is Belmont.
Belmont.
It's
It's a pretty good team.
If you
best team in the conference, if unlike Vanderbilt,
go to this game. If you're an Auburn fan, an Origin truther,
we got James Jones is going. Yeah, Dr. McLaughlin
will make the trip. Be loud, because
I think
all
national resident Drew McCracken will be there.
Nice, that's three. A triumvirate.
Did we say James?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Also James. So if we can get
obligatory Lydia shout out,
all that I
oh,
want
Lydia.
As an Auburn fan,
I assume so.
For this stupid team to do is to just murder Vanderbilt.
I would love for that to happen. I just don't believe
it. Run them off
here's
the court.
The thing.
They if haven't won a game this year.
If we lose to Vanderbilt this weekend, that will be their first conference win.
They haven't won a game in 2019.
We shouldn't be a tournament team. I'll say it. We should.
This could
be
the Everton fan in me that has also brought me to this low place. But this is just a setup for whoever
classic trap game.
Whoever can't score on their team, they're going to score a lot of points, and they're going to win just because.
Chief, that is the wrong kind of attitude. Power of positive thinking, guys. We are going to go in there. I'm telling you right now.
I really want to.
Bryce Brown's going to have 32 dadgum points.
They sound so bad, there's no way we could lose unless.
They do have a first round pick on their team, though.
Who?
Actually, two. One of them's injured, but they have two.
What?
What?
Simisola Shitu. That is a real name.
Excuse me? Jack, we're going to need an MA rating on this.
Yeah. He's a freshman forward. He's a big boy. He's 6'10, 240. Averaging 12.7 rebounds a game.
Not going to work here anymore anyway. Not to make the joke again. What? Ryan!
He's Canadian.
So you're telling me.
They also have a 6'10.
Hey, remember when we have Canadian on our team? And not Malcolm Canada. He was not from Canada.
Canadian. I keep up Matthew a little bit with the National Basketball Association. Look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just have not been.
He's a late first round pick in a lot of the projections right now.
Well,
they've got two guys.
They also have, I think, Darius Garland, another freshman. He's hurt.
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah, and he was.
That may be why they're not very. That may be why they're not.
Yeah, outside of those guys, I mean, here's the thing: they're starting the Falcons quarterback. Matt Ryan is on this team.
Oh man,
not a good look.
Matt,
this is offseason work.
Simisola Shitu, you're right.
See, I'm not
6'10", 240 pounds from Burlington, Ontario. Wow. Guys.
So they have him, and they have another 6'10" Kiwi.
So you're thinking that this guy...
They always get
from New Zealand. Yeah.
They always get New Zealanders and Australianers.
So he was the 7th best... I didn't keep up with recruiting last year in basketball, but he was apparently the 7th best recruit in America. Yeah. Or in the...
Yeah, Vandy, this has been a disappointment of a year for Vandy. They had two top 20 recruits.
This is making me scared we're going to lose these guys because they've just been underperforming.
What if I told you that this is going to be the Danjel Purifoy game?
I wouldn't believe you. Actually,
or if I'm Austin Wiley, I'm looking at this game. I have this game circled with a red highlighter. And I'm red highlighter? Did they make red highlighters? I feel like that's a bad idea.
Pink.
A pink highlighter. And I'm going to look at it and I'm saying, look, this guy's supposed to be a 6'11" forward, going to go to the NBA. Guess what the heck I am? A 6'11" forward, hoping to still go to the NBA.
Yeah.
Austin, I better come out like this is the game that's going to earn him a contract. Because it could be. If Austin Wiley, if this guy's all that, if Austin Wiley comes out and has a 2010 game, by that I don't mean the year 2010, I mean 20 points, 10 rebounds.
Well, he was 5 years old.
Yeah. If this guy has a game like... like that, like a 2010 double double type game.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't see him.
I hope he gets in the game long enough to have that.
I know
they've been giving him a kind of a minutes restriction, keeping on a pitch count.
Probably to keep him healthy. He had a terrible game against LSU. He got 3 fouls in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know why I want to meet Vandy the most though?
The stupid gym.
They got a kid on their team named Saban.
Saban.
Oh. She was like, I don't get it.
Saban.
Salmon?
Salmon. Oh, Saban. Saban Lee, he's actually their PR.
Salmon Rushdie?
Controversial.
I think.
So,
I'm not trying to get a fatwa put on.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, guys.
Vanderbilt. And Ole Miss. Man, I hate this week of Auburn basketball. It sounds like a
there are two
week.
Teams that you really don't want.
You don't
want
to lose to.
Don't want to lose to. Don't want to even care about. But I really don't like either one of them.
Golly,
we have to name this week the Khaki Bowl week.
This is the Khaki Bowl week.
Yeah.
Don't lose. Right.
Let's talk a little bit of a different sport. A sport that I don't really care a ton about. Well,
you want to do some champs and chumps?
Let's take a break, do some champs and chumps. All right, take a quick break.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.
And we're back. Thanks so much to Champs Chicken. Hey, I heard a rumor that Champs Chicken might be naming a sandwich after us. If that's the case, I'm stoked.
What would it be called?
The Orange and Truly Good Chicken Sandwich.
Oh, that would
be
great.
A spicy chicken?
No, it'd be an orange chicken sandwich.
Orange chicken.
Yeah. Orange and Truly Good Chicken Sandwich.
You think they got a good orange chicken at Champs?
He told me, as far as I know, that's going to be the case.
Insider tip.
Yeah.
I was told. From your favorite podcaster.
He was asking for, maybe I'll name some chicken sandwiches after Auburn Twitter, which I think if he did, he becomes the actual, like, king of Auburn Twitter if he begins naming things after Auburn Twitter people. But then I was like, well, why not an Orange and Truly Good Chicken Sandwich? Here we go, guys.
All right.
This is our shot.
One of my dreams in life is to have a sandwich named after me, period.
Look, if you remember the very first episodes of this podcast, that's what we did.
Yeah,
we
sandwich is an amazing, amazing meal.
You gotta probably be like a good sub sandwich. Retired.
They're on sale right now.
Are they?
Chicken tender subs are $6.99 at Publix currently.
I like to get a boar's head meat sub.
But not
hopefully
when Chance
not, but yeah, yeah.
starts making chicken sandwiches. Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Then my chicken tender subs are
just
over.
Get you a what a
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like a sub. What is that bread called? There's a name.
Hoagie.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, a hoagie bread.
Whatever their bread is called. Get one of those.
A baguette.
There we go. Is. Then go to Champs. Cut that sucker open.
Oh,
put
man.
Your chicken in there.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You guys want to go to Champs? No, we got to keep doing baseball. We got baseball.
Oh, well, are we going to do Champs?
No, Champs and Chumps. Oh, man. I'm getting ahead of myself twice.
No. Sorry. We're just teasing everybody.
All right.
With the baseball.
Your Champs of the Week. You guys got Champs of the Week?
I got a chump.
Boy, yeah, I got a chump. Champs.
Pep Guardiola, champ of the week.
Well,
hey,
buddy,
there's one way to get gold.
Me, you know who's champ of the week? Me.
Okay.
Because last week I picked up Sergio Aguero, my fantasy Premier League team.
Sergio Kun Aguero.
Yes, Kun, my boy Kun, as I call him. K-U-N.
Careful
for those that. He scored a hat trick. This weekend.
Yeah,
it's like on their way to, what, 6-0?
Sergio Kun Aguero plays for Manchester City. He has as many hat tricks in the past 5 years as, like, six different Premier League teams do. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's a one-person hat trick, which means he scores 3 goals in a game.
My champ of the week is Lydia.
Not as good as Joseph.
The eternal champ of the week?
Eternal champ of the week,
Lydia. Running out of champ of the week? I already said Pep Guardiola. The 6-0 Chelsea game is incredible. That's got to be...
It's wild.
They destroyed a top-flight Premier League team like it was Haiti versus Germany.
I mean, it made Chelsea look like they were Everton or something like that.
Wrong, yeah.
I'm going to start with my chump of the week.
Okay.
Oh.
That's whoever decided to break into my wife's car at church this past weekend.
At church?
Broke a window. Didn't even take anything, but... It's kind of
amazing. Kind of wish they had
two thoughts. We don't have show notes.
I had two thoughts when you told us about this. Is I was like, God, that is the worst. And I thought, man, that's a genius idea for some sort of criminal.
Gee, are you turning yourself?
No, criminal mind. Like, well,
oh, I bet you meant like competing Church of Christ. Like,
no, so,
you don't go to that one. It's dangerous.
That could also be it. The church wars have begun. No, I just thought, man, what a soft target. They're all in there. They're probably singing. Can't hear anything
especially
outside.
When you have a large student population.
There was a church in my hometown that gave out discounts.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised they weren't just running through there opening, seeing who left theirs unlocked. Yeah.
There was a church in my hometown that gave out like discount Del Chico's 1 year, I think. That was like,
man.
Come to the Easter service and give a certificate. So... It wouldn't put it past me if the opposite was true. Don't go to their church. We'll break into your car.
Oh, man. Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah. That is that. I'll add that to my chump of the week too.
Chump of the week, yeah. Whoever that is the chump of the week.
If you listen to this, are you podcast, sure? At least this was you.
Yeah. They didn't take anything from you. You're the chump, though, right?
No. But so they broke into another car after they didn't find anything in ours.
Right.
And ran up like $1,000 grocery bill at Kroger.
Huh. What?
So yeah. So like I don't know how they've been caught yet, but whatever. Huh. I digress.
$1,000 grocery bill.
Well,
that is a smart move.
Self checkout.
So I'm guessing what they probably did is
they were hungry.
Took the card, they swiped it once for like $5 or something to see if it wasn't canceled and it worked. Because this happened to me. And then
the chief is turning himself in.
No!
What's going on here?
No, I dropped my debit card on the ground somewhere and someone picked it up. They went to Walmart, they charged $5 on it.
Okay.
And then they charged $25 on it and stuff. And then they charged $500 on it. And Regents called me and was like, hey, this is weird activity.
At the same Walmart? Hey, man, are you forgetting to buy stuff?
And this is like more stuff?
Because that's a typical thing. They use it to see if you've canceled it. They use it again to see if it's still going up. And then they'll just put as much on it as they can. So
I had my debit card number stolen from the same ATM 2 years in a row.
We went back to the ATM.
Surely this ATM is not
honest. Sure, it's like getting struck by lightning.
Sure, it's ATM in the middle of this decrepit downtown in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, well, okay.
All things are coming together. $400 charge on my debit card at some bookstore in a country I don't like anymore.
I feel like
wait a minute.
Playing with fire when you use an ATM in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, of course. It's in the IKEA parking lot. I thought, I'm sure it's going to be safe.
IKEA? That's odd.
Yeah. IKEA, as they call it in Germany. So we play baseball.
Yeah.
This weekend. Fun. We didn't do chumps of the week, other than the guy that robbed you guys.
That's a mega chump. A
lot of chumps.
Eternal chump of the week.
Us for thinking that 3-point lead against LSU was safe.
Well, I didn't.
A lead in a sport in Baton Rouge. That's,
I had a friend whose car was stolen today, too, by the way.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, never mind. Towed. He thought it was stolen.
Yep. Towing is theft.
This is a friend of mine who's still an Auburn student. I don't think he realized that's the normal occurrence. I should have told him, hey, man, if you haven't had your car towed 3 times by the time you graduate.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
Oh, really?
No.
Man.
I've never seen HDK towing companies, people towing around.
One of my favorite, I'm not going to name which Auburn basketball player this was. When we were in college, an Auburn basketball player had his Tahoe stolen.
Frank Tolbert.
Oh, okay. That guy didn't want to blow up his spot.
No, I'm sorry.
Ricky Finger, and he broke into the lot and then drove his car through the fence to break his car out of the jail.
And got arrested.
It's a great Auburn basketball
player. But anyway, I read it. It was in The Plainsman.
Yeah.
I loved it. He was a hero.
He was. A hero. To all of us.
I had a friend that also broke his own car out of HDK towing.
Gosh.
Those guys were scum.
Yeah.
And so,
if you're listening to this HDK towing,
eat it.
Yeah, we don't really care.
Stick it. Anyway.
But we'd love for you to sponsor the podcast.
I don't think they exist anymore. I don't.
Ryan, tell us why Big Blue Towing is better. And also, let's talk a little
bit. Are they related to Big Blue Bagel?
No. But there's not towing.
No. The Big Blue.
I know.
He's way too chill.
I've had experience with him before.
He's way too chill.
He loves basketball.
Talk to me a little bit about baseball.
So I'm going to defer to Drew McCracken, our resident baseball expert.
He's got a great article.
Go look on the site.
I went to a practice, you guys. You could defer to me.
A mega college baseball fan. Son of a pro.
So anyways, he's got some great write-ups for the season coming up this weekend. Read through those. That's going to give you way more information than we can here.
Who we play this weekend, Ryan?
We got Georgia Southern this weekend.
That's not a bad matchup.
Okay, so we're doing this again.
This is Auburn baseball. Come on, we're not talking Braves.
But this Auburn team has a pair of studs on the team.
Yeah.
One on the mound, one at shortstop.
Yeah.
And Tanner Burns and Will Holland.
Oh, Will Holland.
And Tanner's going to be here 2 more years before he goes to draft. He's definitely going to be a high pick, filling in Casey Mize's role as the Friday starter.
Mize, we're going to miss that guy.
Yeah. And Will Holland playing shortstop. Mm. And I'm going to be honest, I don't have a great scouting report of him, but I'm going to share a story. And Will, if somehow you're listening to this, sorry. He was actually a freshman at Collins Hill High School, my high school, when I was a senior. One of my really good friends was starting the regional final game, or whatever it was, basically lose and go home. His last game that he got to pitch in high school, during a complete game, had an RBI.
Look at me.
I think he gave up four unearned runs in a loss because old Will Holland here had a couple errors at short. As a freshman. Well,
yeah, he's a freshman.
I'm gonna cut him some slack for that, but man, you gotta imagine my surprise.
He's 15 years old.
Three years later, I look at the Auburn roster and, oh, I remember him.
Actually, he was 14 years old. Like, what are you doing?
But yeah, so he's actually a stud.
Real good.
He's gonna get paid next year.
He is not Jay Collins' father.
Auburn great Jay Collins.
Who's father's name is also Jeffrey Holland, but I don't believe he is his father.
Yeah, so where is he in the Holland rankings for Auburn?
Well, last I checked, Will Holland did not stop Aaron Murray on the goal line.
That's fair.
So he's one level below Jay Collins.
What about Sensei Mudd?
Another great
Sensei Mudd. That's right. The other Jeff Holland, right?
Mm-hmm. Man, he would have done wonders on this Auburn football team this past year.
Sensei Mudd.
Anyway.
Will Holland, Jeffrey Holland, Jake Holland, and Jeff Holland, that's Jake Holland's dad, that didn't play at Auburn, but was a part of Auburn
honorable
for
mention.
A while.
But that's first this song's coming up.
No, Jeff Holland is great. Will Holland really might be the best Holland we've had on campus.
Yeah. He's going to be a high draft pick next year, and props to him. I think that's kind of a testament to what Butch has been doing since he got to Auburn. We were kind of not doing so hot, especially with Sonny Galloway, but even kind of the years before that.
Oh, yeah. Look,
Auburn's putting out top-end talent.
Auburn has struggled since Hal Mumme left.
Right. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Auburn has struggled since Hal Mumme left.
Hal who? Hal Baird.
Hal Baird. Sorry, not Hal
Mumme is a football coach.
Air raid.
Yes, that's. Auburn has struggled since Hal
Mumme's mentor.
Air raid baseball.
Auburn did struggle against Hal Mumme.
Yeah,
but not on the diamond.
No, not on the diamond. Sorry, Hal Baird.
Yeah, and just said Auburn's. Auburn baseball is kind of the same spot as Auburn football right now.
Yeah.
Where this is a really good team that might finish seventh in the conference.
Dude, Auburn baseball has it way worse than Auburn football if you just look at it. Like, every good team in the country is in the SEC.
Right.
And they can all give, not all. A lot of them can offer full supplemental scholarships rather than just the half scholarships that Auburn has. Auburn's just a real unfair advantage.
Wait, Auburn can't offer the same scholarships in baseball that other schools can?
No, you didn't know this?
I didn't know that.
It's a conference thing, isn't it?
I think it's a conference thing.
Wait, so other conferences?
They get half scholarships.
Auburn does.
Yes.
But Vanderbilt doesn't.
Vandy can do whatever they want. They're private.
Oh, okay.
Nerds.
Like South Carolina.
So anywhere that has a lottery, so Georgia, they don't offer full scholarships. They still have the half scholarships, but they have the supplemental hope scholarships they give these guys. Mississippi has some other deal where they offer supplemental stuff.
I'm not going to get political, but Alabama should probably have a lottery at this point.
Maybe, yeah. I tax on the dumb, but it's all right.
People who are voting against it. People who are lobbying against it are Mississippi money coming in and lobbying against it.
And Georgia.
Mississippi boosters.
And Tennessee. And Florida.
Yeah.
So, I've got no problem with the Seminole lottery.
So speaking of Auburn football being in a similar situation, the S&P rankings came out today.
Oh, we're talking a little football now, guys.
Turn the page here. Nice transition.
All right, go ahead and tune in.
We couldn't have done that before I called Hal Baird Hal Mumme.
Go ahead and tune in.
I want to know
Truth or Fans.
Struggle through like that four one. Times.
Auburn, everybody knows that the Origin True podcast is your source for free, unadulterated Auburn football news.
We're the Woodward and Bernstein of Auburn football news.
Sources close to the program. All right.
We need a theme.
We hate beat writers.
Well, that's not true.
Sources.
That is not true. One of us has said that. It's not me. It's not Brian.
Might have been hating ass chief.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, that's a thing. All right, Ryan. Let's go a little football. Let's talk a little bit about what we've uncovered this week with Bill. Talking about.
So old Bill C's got his S&P rankings.
That was a terrible sentence. professional broadcaster.
I enjoyed it.
Son of Crow taking the whole way, the scenic route to get to the internet.
Got there eventually. Yeah, so the S&P rankings came out this week, and Auburn's looking pretty good in them. So if you don't know what they are, they're Bill Connelly's projection numbers. You know,
S&P is a...
They're his ranking system.
Is an analytical... analytical schematic it's not necessarily predictive, he always says,
but it is.
It's not a resume tool. I think it's more predictive than anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, because he tunes it to what gives him the best percentages against
the spread. Yeah.
And right, but early in the year, he's always like, hey guys, look, it's early in the year.
He keeps any preseason predictions and longer than most people do in their
I'd really like an explanation of how he does this preseason ranking.
He has a couple of things that he brings in, and it's
recruiting
rankings, past performance, which is he weights the last 5 years' performance.
Okay.
He has returning production, which is, I guess, an old Phil Steele thing.
Yeah.
But he goes in more than just like returning starters.
Phil Steele Ryan was this guy that used to write for A.
I use the reference. Come on, Chief. And then he's recruiting impact. And I think this year he went to just the 2 year recruiting impact, but I could be wrong on that. Or maybe he went from 2 to 4, regardless. So he's got recruiting, returning production, and previous 5 years performance. So with those
things, I imagine these are less accurate than his in season.
Well, these actually stay in the in season rankings.
Okay. Yeah, he leaves them in. That's another.
So it's like this is like 80% of the weight of week one rankings, and then 60% of week two
comes on,
phases out. Yeah. But anyways, he has Auburn as number 8 in these rankings.
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty.
That's not bad, right? Can we agree that's not bad?
No, it's super good, Brian.
It seems very strange to be 8.
It's way good.
When
we are 5th in the SEC.
Well, it just seems very strange to be 8th when we don't even know who our quarterback's going to be.
So here's the thing. Outside of quarterback.
We know who it's going to be. We saw
Bo Nix.
Outside of quarterback, Auburn is one of the best teams in the country as far as returning production. We're actually 9th.
Outside quarterback is a terrible way to start.
We return all
outside of the offensive line. Everything's great.
We return all the offensive linemen. We only lose one guy on the defensive line. We return our entire secondary. Return all of our running backs.
I will say, I read an article or a list of tweets by another.
That's all journalism is these days.
By another SEC SB Nation guy from LSU podcast. And he was talking about how Auburn is a team that he's actually worried about this year because we return our starting offensive line and running backs. And how, like, in the past, when Gus teams have done when Gus teams have done that, I don't know if he's talking about losing to us. I think he's talking about us being a good team.
Oh, yeah, winning every other game but the LSU game.
That's a marker of a good season.
Oh, that's true.
Every game except for losing at LSU.
True. I mean, there's no way we're going to win that game, right? It's there.
What if
she's going to predict us? Crow's going to predict us to go 12-0.
So that's true.
No, not after this. The way the gymnastics screwed us over. Now I'm.
Well, we didn't win. It's
already over. The curse happened.
It's hypothetical.
They haven't tanked. They put up their highest.
Well, they're going to lose every game from here on out.
That's team that we're not going to talk about put up their highest score ever on the road.
Hypothetically.
Look, I'm predicting them to lose every match from here on out. And so is soccer, and so is basketball, and so is football. Auburn sports are going to lose every game. So when they don't...
Crow's just handling the baseball, I'm not saying they're going to
lose. Baseball's losing everything. All their baseball matches. But you know what? When they don't, then this is a double reverse jinx, and I totally win.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they do, then I'm a wizard. So...
That's what
the worst wizard.
This is what I think that everyone that can predict doom and gloom for Auburn is. If they're wrong, they're wrong. They're just who cares? If they're right, then they're geniuses.
Yeah. I'm just Auburn Twitter now.
Yeah.
We're gonna lose every game, Ryan. We're gonna lose in football this year.
Even as the 8th ranked team in these rankings, we're still projected to go like 8-4.
I know, and that's
because we have 5 games against top 10 opponents.
Yeah,
and 7 against top 10.
I mean, that's
like.
Yeah, it's a way harder schedule.
It's a way harder schedule. We better buckle up.
That is absurd, and it's bad because I put it to someone today who I was telling about these rankings as well. That, I mean, that's we'll probably win eight games against it, and that'll be a decent showing.
And Gus, like, will get fired.
Yeah.
And that's the lousy thing.
Like, not nine wins, 10 wins would be amazing.
The problem is 9 wins keeps them safe this year, but it builds them no goodwill going into next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 2020, I'm just going to give you a little preview, guys. 2020 is not going to be good.
Oh, no. All our basket, all of Gus's and Auburn's eggs are in the 2019 basket. He needs a
10-win season this year.
And for us to win 10 games will be basically a miracle.
Miracle. Guys, win. You heard it here first. When Auburn has its miracle season, no, don't blame it on us. I'm predicting the opposite.
James Jones put it the best. If we win 11 games, if we were to go 11-1 against this schedule, it would be the greatest performance in NCAA history.
I mean, you're already talking about a team that had to beat number one two out of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Did it.
Then played them again.
And that was not considered at the time like, hey, this is super unusual.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's the way the cookie crumbles in the SEC. Like, Auburn fans' expectations should literally just be like, to survive. If Auburn can survive the season with 8, and I consider surviving 8 wins. That is a survivable season. Don't lose any Tennessee games.
We don't have that many on schedule.
You know what I mean? Like, beat the teams that you are.
Our Tennessee this year is Florida.
Yeah.
So let me give you a little hint here. Florida's 6th in the SEC.
Florida's super good. Yeah. But if Auburn were to just beat all the teams on its schedule, it's ranked ahead of in the S&P, right?
They win 8 games.
7-5.
And that's
7. There's 5 teams ahead of
Yeah. That's
guys, it's surviving. Alabama 1, Georgia 2, LSU 4. Sorry, I take it back. You're right, 8-4. LSU 4, Florida 6.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State's 10.
You beat.
And we play Oregon, who is
20th. And A&M's 13th.
You play Oregon. You've.
I don't believe these rankings with A&M and 13.
Dude, A&M about to be good.
No.
And so is
Jimbo Florida.
I know. I'm sitting here, the John the Baptist of A&M and Florida. I've been telling people before,
like, Florida is trouble this year. When we talking about this early, like, late last in the season, and I was talking about Florida's not a, like, win game. Like, we might lose that. It's there.
Now, I will say this, but makes me laugh about A&M. Remember A&M had Kyler Murray on
campus? Yeah, oh yeah.
And he was not super great.
Yeah.
Turns out, like,
he was super great.
Super great. How did you
had a lot of stuff.
He was the number one rated recruit in America.
You know my opinion on that.
Kevin Sumlin's not good?
Yeah, he's not a good coach.
Yeah. Number one rated recruit in America out of high school. Number one in Texas, obviously. Goes to A&M. He's not super good. Goes to Oklahoma. Best player in America. Like, all right, so he's best player in America over here in high school.
Makes you wonder about Kenny Trill. Maybe
because of those SEC defenses.
Best player in America over here in Oklahoma. What happened in between? Kevin Sumlin? So if I'm actually...
He didn't have Cliff Kingsbury as his offense coordinator?
Yeah. Lincoln Riley. Hey, you guys watch.
No, but Carlos his most successful years is Cliff Kingsbury was his OC.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if it was
because Johnny Manziel was.
I was talking about some. Sorry, to myself.
Yeah, some.
I was talking about.
You guys know that. I'm calling it right here on the podcast. Now, this is the same guy who said that Bob Stoops is going to be coach of Auburn. Me. Or not Bob. I said us
Stoops. Cue the cereal music.
Cue the cereal. Look. Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals next year. Number one pick in the draft.
Probably, yeah.
They're going to trade Rosen, who they just picked overall.
Yeah.
First pick last
year. Guys, they're not afraid to trade people anymore.
Kingsbury is going to trade and get Kyler. He's going to be really good. He's really good.
You think he'll be better?
5'9" and really good.
5'9", that guy is? Really?
Yeah, he's James Harden. He is.
The James Harden.
Not James Harden. No, James Harden's like 6'5".
Jared Harper?
He's Jared Harper's height.
There's no way he's 5'9 and playing quarterback. Really?
When he goes to the combine and does not measure 6 feet tall, there are going to be teams who are like, oh, man, I don't know. But then when he works out for that team, they're going to say, oh, man, we better draft this guy.
These are the same teams that love Johnny Manziel for his hand size.
Jesus
Christ. Dude, 5'9 is short, but that dude can.
All you had to do to know that you should never draft Johnny Manziel was read the SI article.
Yeah, the ESPN article.
The ESPN article about him.
The Wright Thompson article.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. Like, I saw that and I was like, this guy can forget getting drafted. Of course, the Browns drafted him, so whatever.
Factory of sadness.
Yeah.
Well, here's to a great football season. So, a miserable schedule. But you know what?
Season tickets are going to be great.
At least we've got at least we're breaking in a new quarterback.
Yeah, Bo knows.
Throw him to the wolves.
All right, guys, that's the end of the Orange and True. You've come to the end of the Orange and True podcast for this week.
For this week, not forever.
Oh, we hope that you've had really a great time.
Can I have one more chump?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Before this is over.
Oh, bonus chump of the week.
The referee in the Everton.
Oh, gosh.
Watford match.
For the Everton.
Yeah, freaking Everton. Reference. Guys, I hate Everton.
No one hates Everton as much as Everton supporters. As you rightly pointed out earlier.
They have, yeah. Nass Chief.
The referee at the end of that match, Kurt Zuma goes over to him. Zuma, zoom, and a boom, boom.
Zuma, zoom, zoom, and a boom, boom.
Rob Shaker, as I call him. He's a center back for the Everton Toffees. Anyway, he goes up to the referee after the final whistle is blown to ask him something. You can see him. He's not close to him. He's kind of like a foot away. You can see him like gesturing with his hands. And the referee pulls out his yellow card. And then Zuma immediately turns and walks away. And then the referee pulls out his red card. Now, for those of you that don't know, to get a red card, you either do violent conduct. If he'd actually touched the ref, that's straight technically red. Targeting.
Yeah, targeting. Targeting straight red.
If you get two yellow cards, you get a red card, and that's a one-match ban. Kurt Zuma had not received a yellow card during this match, and he received a yellow card after the match was over, and then a red card.
So somehow. He has to miss next match.
So it's really bizarre. Like,
hopefully that's the way the targeting is next year in football. Hopefully it's
I
want the yellow card, red card system in
targeting. Although
that's people are talking about it at the basically there's
a really bad immediate red card targeting and then a regular targeting.
So we're talking about face masking.
Yes,
exactly.
So if it's a bad,
but they can review it.
If it's an egregious targeting, straight red, you're out of the game.
Yeah.
If it's a accidental incidental targeting, yellow card, you do another one of those. Out the game.
Okay. All right.
That's a good system.
I can see that.
Because throwing a guy out for some stuff they were throwing guys out for was stupid.
Well, yeah, especially since you can like watch the replay a billion different ways and you're like, oh, that's targeting or, oh, that's not targeting.
We need a sky judge.
We do.
And with that,
we need sky
come
net.
To the end.
What? We need Skynet? Is that what you said?
Sky judge.
Sky guy?
Skynet.
No.
Skynet or Skymir? Skymir is the name of a piece of art.
Sky guy is what Ahsoka Tano calls Anakin Skywalker on Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Gosh.
All right, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Like I always say, just watch what you like.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.